It's 8:30. This is FM 95.7 KQWC Webster City, and time now for this week's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. And joining us on this next to last day of spring, Lori Foster from Van Deese Medical Center. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat.
Yes.
How are you today?
Not too bad, after all the rain we had overnight.
We did get a little shower, didn't we?
Yeah, we did get a little shower, about 63 hundredths of shower stuff overnight. But some places had about 3 to 4 inches, but we kind of lucked out in a way.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about peripheral neuropathy with a good friend of ours, Kevin Bottino, will be joining us very shortly. But Lori, I learned last week about some big news about Van Deese Medical Center, something coming up next week, and more will come from the Van Deese Medical Center family next week. Award from the governor?
Yes, that's right. We are being recognized for our SHIP program. Mm-hmm. So Senior Health Insurance Information Program and the volunteers that we have. Van Deese Medical Center is a sponsor site for that program, and we have been for a number of years. And so that is definitely a wonderful recognition.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that next week, but just want to give a heads up on that. I learned about it last Friday, got word from the Iowa Volunteer Program that it's going to be about 600 groups, people, and organizations, including Van Deese Medical Center, getting this very high nod.
Yes, and they did send us notification. I received that, and then we're invited to the reception where they do recognize the number of organizations and individuals. And we have been invited to that before and participated. And as you mentioned, Pat, it is a wonderful recognition and honor.
Sure is. Sure is. Well, you got some more announcements. Also, we got Kevin Moltina coming up. So, Lori, I will let you carry on with our announcements and other stuff.
Very good. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Lori.
I do want to mention to our listeners that we are going to have Miss Casey's Donut Delights come to Van Deese Medical Center this Friday, June 21st. We actually had their donut truck visit our hospital during hospital week, and they do a great job of promoting to the community where they are, and gosh, it was a hit. Our employees loved it, and we had a lot of support from the community, so we are having them back again. It's this Friday, June 21st, and it will be from 7 a.m. until noon, and the donut truck will be located in the west parking lot, so that is the parking lot that faces the courthouse. We certainly invite you to stop on over, grab coffee, grab some mini donuts. They have all sorts of different types and flavors, and take them back to your family, take them to your coworkers, and they're a real hit. Again, Miss Casey's Donut Delights this Friday, June 21st from 7 a.m. till noon. And then I do want to give a mention for our psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners. We have two on staff with us at Van Deese Medical Center. We have Julie Trout and Krista Johnson. Julie really treats patients across the lifespan, typically from 6 years old and up. She can see anyone who struggles with a mental health, depression, anxiety, mood disorders, psychosis, ADHD, and personality disorders. Krista Johnson, similarly, she treats patients ages 5 and up, and her practice is all virtual, so it's all telehealth, and it's for those people who struggle, again, with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, ADHD, panic disorder, and she uses a very personal, a patient-centered and holistic approach. And I just want to mention that both of these ladies are excellent, and we do have the options. Julie sees patients in person here in Webster City. She also offers virtual visits. And as I mentioned, Krista Johnson does her practice entirely virtual via telehealth. And so there are a couple of different options. Some people do prefer to have those visits in person, and some really like to do it in their convenience of, say, their own home, where they're most comfortable there. And so we do offer both options. If you're interested in making an appointment with either Julie or Krista, you can call Van Deese Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800. And then I do also want to give a plug for our visiting specialty services. In particular, we have partnered with Iowa Ortho to bring orthopedic services here. Dr. Scott Shumway is a hand specialist, and Dr. Brett Rosenthal is a spine specialist. Dr. Rosenthal sees patients the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month, and Dr. Shumway sees patients the second and fourth Thursdays of each month. If you have any type of issue, you'd like to make an appointment with either Dr. Shumway or Dr. Rosenthal, you can call our specialty clinic department at 515-832-7746. And I think that does it for my announcements today. I'm very excited to introduce our guest and launch into our program today. We have Kevin Boltina, who is a doctor of physical therapy, with us today. And he's going to be talking about peripheral neuropathy. And so I'm going to be learning right along with our listeners today about this topic and kind of what it includes, symptoms, treatment options, and kind of weave in how we do that through our therapy world. So good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. It's always fun to be here.
Yes, thank you for being here. And Kevin selected our topic for today. Maybe start by sharing with our listeners maybe what led you to this topic.
You know, this was, you know, when I was first knowing I wanted to do another radio show and I didn't have a topic, you know, set in mind, but doing some continuing education classes, you know, that are required every year, this was the first topic that popped up on my continuing education choices. And I thought, oh boy, this would actually be really good for me to just continue to learn more about. And I thought it'd be a good program because it is something we deal with quite often in the clinic. It's a, you know, fairly prevalent in people. So I thought it would be a really interesting topic.
No, I think it's a great topic, so I am glad that you landed on this. Maybe for those of us who do not know specifically, when we say peripheral neuropathy, what is it? What are we talking about?
So, you know, we'll just breaking down the title, neuropathy, you know, neuro refers to nerves, and the back half of that word, pathy, actually means an affliction or a condition. So we hear neuropathy, and it's an affliction of the nerves. And then the peripheral refers to away from the center. So in our nervous system, we have our central nervous system, which would be our brain and our spinal cord. And then we have the peripheral nervous system, which is the nerves that go away from the spinal cord and taking information to and from the brain from our body parts that are away from the center. So that's where it gets the peripheral neuropathy comes from. And, you know, just within that, it can encompass so many different topics of, you know, causes and, you know, symptoms and how it affects us and what to do about it. So just the term peripheral neuropathy can be very, very broad. We tend to see it, you know, in more specific cases. You know, as we start talking about, well, that's what it is, but what causes it?
Right. Let's go right into that.
So it's can be caused by lots of different factors. One of the most common is that people will hear is diabetic neuropathy. Mm-hmm. It's called by, or you know, people with, you know, more likely type 2 diabetes will develop it over time. And interesting, it's more common if you have type 2 diabetes and don't control your blood sugars. But even controlling your blood sugars doesn't eliminate, you know, the fact that it will, you know, or can develop. And so there's some causes in there that we're not really sure what the mechanism is. But we know over 50% of people with type 2 diabetes will develop neuropathy at some point. But there are other causes. Guillain-Barré syndrome is an autoimmune kind of disease that attacks the nerves in the same way, as well as, I mean, it can be from an injury. There are some hereditary factors that can play into it. And then some much more uncommon things that are less. But each of those causes can affect our body differently. You know, Guillain-Barré, you know, for example, is a condition that progresses very, very rapidly. And, you know, the onset to being very debilitating can be within days. And so that is definitely something that most medical people would tend to look out for, you know, if there's just sudden onset of weakness that is progressing very, very quickly, from, boy, noticing a little bit of weakness to not being able to, you know, stand or walk, and maybe even having trouble swallowing and breathing, all progressing very quickly. And that's would be, you know, a very serious medical issue, you know, to get help right away. Other conditions progress a lot more slowly. You know, the most common that we would see is diabetic neuropathy, which is not, you know, the emergency medical condition of getting help right away, but it definitely is something that you want to address and work through as quickly as possible.
Definitely, like with diabetes, something that you want to manage and stay on top of, and not let it go.
Right. I mean, it's the more we can control your blood sugars, and Lori, this goes back a little bit to a topic we talked about not too long ago on functional health.
Right.
You know, where we really are trying to look at our health, you know, across the whole body system as it deals with nutrition and sleep and exercise and hydration and all of those factors that certainly will, you know, be important to manage, you know, diabetes. You know, one other cause that I don't think I mentioned earlier was it's really associated with deficiencies in the B vitamins, B12, B6, and different things. So, I mean, that's also relating to nutrition, where, you know, we may see some deficits. So finding foods that are higher in B vitamins are really good.
Well, that is good to know. And someone may not realize that could be a cause of it, but probably, you know, an appointment with their primary care provider and through lab work, I'm sure that could be determined, correct?
Yep, lab work and even, you know, talking with a nutritionist, you know, to be sure those aspects are met.
Well, and I know that you also mentioned when you were talking about the causes, it made me think because you mentioned autoimmune, and there are several autoimmune diseases and I know that can impact the nervous system as well.
Yes. You know, we mentioned one, Guillain-Barré.
Right.
But there are several. Sjögren's syndrome is another one. And just about so many of those tumors and a lot of chemotherapy drugs can result in some neuropathies such as that. So I think just something, you know, especially as you may find you have some of these other medical issues going on, to be aware of what symptoms they may be causing, and to be aware of, and to keep your doctor and healthcare providers updated on.
So you're just launching right into it. It's perfect, Kevin. Let's talk about the symptoms.
So symptoms of neuropathy, and the nerves are going to transport information on just about everything. So the nerves are broken down into a motor nerve, which will conduct impulses related to the muscles. So the brain will send an impulse through the spinal cord, and it'll go out through the peripheral nerves, telling a muscle what to do. Okay. The muscle will in turn send information back up and down to the brain as to what it's doing. So the signal really is going both ways. you know, the brain telling the muscle what to do, and then the muscle responding and telling the brain what's happening.
Yeah. Got that message. This is what we're doing.
And this is what we're doing about it. That's also true for sensory nerves, okay, where the sensory nerves is going to take sensation and send information up to the brain, and the brain's going to send a message down saying, this is what I think about this.
Yeah.
Okay, that may be instantaneously and quick, and it may even bypass the brain a little bit, such as touching a hot stove.
That was exactly my thoughts.
Yeah, that to where it's, you know, it all happens.
Hot, don't touch.
Yep, very quickly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we've got both the motor or the muscle component that's affected, but also the sensory component. So now all of a sudden the muscles don't work so well, but also the sensation doesn't work so well. And those can be affected equally or, you know, differently. One could be,
one,
you know, have
so
a little bit
other.
More so than, mm-hmm. than others. And then the other component to it is that there's an autonomic component, or, you know, that's the part of our nervous system that controls our bodily functions. So that, you know, our peripheral nervous system is going to have a big role in managing our blood pressure and managing our digestive tract and our urinary tracts. So you can also see changes in those systems. And those can be a little bit more medically pressing because of, you know, if your blood pressure is off, that can become more of a medical emergency. Or if your intestinal tract is off, you know, that can cause problems of its own. And those we deal a little bit less with. That would be more of a medical, you know, your physician.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be aware of, those are things that can also be seen with neuropathy. How those are affected too, because they're nerves giving and taking information to and from the brain. So what all that means is your first signs of neuropathy may be that you have altered sensation in your hands and feet. Okay, you may have maybe pins and needles sensation, which is probably the one we hear the most of. A lot of people will describe that as numbness. In their fingers, they may feel weak, clumsy. They have trouble picking up a glass, or, you know, they try and pick up a glass, but they can't keep it from spilling. Their muscle and their sensation aren't matching up very well. Commonly at night, people won't tolerate blankets over their feet because of the burning sensation.
Really?
On that, yeah. So that's pins and needles and burning sensation are probably the two most common symptoms
that will hear about.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. people will complain about. And that leads into then also the weakness. And that's so we'll hear, boy, they'll come in there, have burning feet, and they don't feel very strong, especially in their legs and hands. And then the other part of that goes right with the first two as a result is they're off balance and they fall. So the whole system kind of goes to, they start losing sensation and they start losing their strength. So all of a sudden their feet start collapsing. They start losing control of the arch in their foot. And their ankles aren't as strong. And they don't have such great sensation and strength in their feet and ankles, so they don't respond to their walking environment very well. And so they get off balance. And it can just get to this vicious cycle of less and less sensation, less and less strength, more impaired balance. Your brain starts perceiving that you're not very stable when you're walking anymore. That brings fear into it.
Right.
And all of a sudden you don't want to walk more because you're scared of falling. And you don't walk more, you walk less. So you get less strength, less balance. It's just this vicious cycle.
Without a doubt.
You know, to do that. And so part of the one thing is to be sure we want keeping people active, we need to be sure they're active safely. Mm-hmm. You know, and that brings into what we work with a lot. But we need them to be active. They need to still work on their muscle strength and their, you know, how their body is receiving those signals. One of the, you know, back to the anatomy of the nerves, you know, with how the nerves degenerate with this type of disease is the neuropathy can affect a lot of the sheaths around the nerves, which has a lot to do with the speed of the conduction, how quickly it gets to and from the brain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that reaction is just too slow.
It's like delayed.
It's delayed. So, you know, you may have the reaction there, but by the time, you know, the brain gets the information and then sends it back down to the muscle, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already fallen. So there's strategies that we need to use to alter that.
So when you have people come to therapy and they're experiencing this, I mean, the one thing we want to stress is if you're a person that is feeling some of these sensations, and it is scary, but we want to get people help. So say they've talked to their primary care provider and they're coming to therapy. There's some treatment options. So a patient presents and is sharing this with you. What does that look like? How can therapy play a part?
So the first thing we want to look at is, you know, what's the condition of the skin and joints? You know, for instance, at the feet or at the hands, they may be having certain structural faults. Like we talked earlier, at the feet, you know, arches may be collapsing. Do they need certain types of orthotics or bracing just to get the joints supported? And that would be something we look at. What's the skin integrity like? It's very common as you lose sensation, people may have, you know, develop sores that they don't even know they have. You know, in a normal sensation, they would clearly know they have rubbed a blister mm-hmm. on a foot or you know, have been walking on a rock all day. But in sensation impaired, they may not realize that and even have sores. So, you know, part of it is just being sure, you know, that the integrity of the tissues are good. And really stress importance of monitoring that on their own. They need to be doing things like checking their feet every day, you know, because we want to tackle those issues before they become bigger problems and much more difficult to deal with. So then we will, you know, you go on to doing, you know, an assessment of what the muscle integrity is. How strong are they? Can they make the muscles work? And not only can they work, can their brain decipher how they're working? You know, it can't just be that the brain sends an impulse down and the muscle works, and the, you know, which moves the joint. But does the brain know what the joint is doing when it's moving? You know, it's very fine motor controlled there, and so there are tests that we can use just to get a feel for how well does the brain know what's happening at the joint. It needs to know, is the ankle bending up? Is it bending down? Is it rolling one side or to the other side? And then what to do about that.
Right. So through observation, you know, you can see what's
through
going
observation
on
and testing. Mm-hmm. We may do specific tests for see what their sensation is. There are monofilament testing to get a good feel of how much have they lost, and how much then also do they have remaining?
Mm-hmm. Are they able to gain back?
Now, once...
Maybe I'm jumping ahead.
Well, yeah, we'll may come back to that.
Okay.
But part of that then is even if we're looking at someone that has this diminished sensation, yes, that may not be something they get back. That may be an ongoing problem and issue. So how do we deal with that? And that's working through a lot of compensations. And that gets into even needing to change how the brain thinks about movement. And as an example, you know, just trying to make this clear, as we walk or as we stand, our normal first response to our balance is that we're going to get sensation through our feet and our ankles, mm-hmm. as far as what's happening. Are we, you know, moving forward? Are we swaying backwards? Side to side, we're getting that information. If we're in a balance challenge that is too much for the ankles and the feet to manage, we go to a hip strategy, okay, and that's where all of a sudden we may, you know, really bend forward or backwards or whatever to try and, you know, regain control of our balance. If we're into a balance strategy or a balance challenge that is, you know, over and above a hip strategy, we do a stepping strategy, you know, where you'd actually would take a step to regain your balance. And so in the case of a neuropathy, we don't have much ankle and foot strategy anymore because either we're not getting the message or the message is just happening too slowly. Mm-hmm. And so we need to train the brain that its first response needs to be a lot less on the ankle and a lot more to the hip. Mm-hmm. You know, that hip needs to be that much more sensitive to what's happening and that much more responsive, and that the first impulse from the brain may not be, okay, we got to sway forward on the ankles. It needs to be, talk to the hip. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of almost retraining of the brain to affect how it's tackling the problem on that. So there's training that can be done to do that. You know, we have to compensate with our other balance systems. You know, with neuropathy, people are going to become more and more visually dependent on our balance. You know, we want to see what's happening and let our brain respond to that. But that also comes with pitfalls because there's things like night and getting up to the bathroom, you know, in a dark room, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there's walking on busy streets and very distracting. But you'll see a lot of these people, they'll walk really kind of watching the ground. They need to see the ground to know what's happening because they're not getting that information from, you know, their feet and limbs. So we can use that both to our advantage of trying to use the visual system. We also don't want people to be so dependent on their visual system that it makes them unsafe at those other times, and to just overrule the rest of our balance systems. The vision system is a very powerful message to the brain, and it will dominate if we let it. You know, in other words, we'll become so vision dependent that we will diminish our other skills for that. And so we want to use vision both to our advantage and not let it become over dominant.
Right. So it really is about engaging, you know, all the systems, you know, to provide whatever it is that person needs.
Right. So we want to maximize, you know, what we can get, you know, try and prevent what's being lost. But we also want to teach how to compensate for what you, you know, no longer have available to do that. And there's so many different ways to train balance and retrain the brain that way. And sometimes it involves an assistive device. Sometimes it involves an assistive device for a while, you know, until systems can be functioning hard or functioning better. But I think the important thing is we want to keep working on it. You know, that's not something that, you have neuropathy, so I'm just going to fall. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not a very good answer either.
No, it's not. And the thing is, like you said, I think what can be learned is there is a retraining that can happen. And for people to know that therapy can play a really important role in that retraining. And I'm sure it's physical. I'm sure it's occupational. I'm sure a lot of support through the therapy services.
Right. You know, and especially as it affects, you know, the different body systems, you know, upper extremities, lower extremities, our vital organs. So everything can be affected, and even trying to just work through the multidisciplinary plan is probably the best system.
Yes. So for those that may be struggling with this, what would you recommend?
Well, we would love to get a chance to just take a look and see where your deficits may be. That is, you know, an appointment, you know, through our office. It may, you know, may start even with a visit to your physician and just describing, you know, you've got some of these sensations, you know, burning in the hands and feet, sensation changes, numbness, tingling, pins and needles, those kind of things. I'm sure they will be, the physicians will be more on top of how your blood pressure may be being affected by these things. And especially knowing your risk factors. If you are someone that has a diagnosis of diabetes or some of those other things, maybe put you more at risk and you need to be even more aware. So, yeah, we would love to get a chance to work with you. We can be called directly, 832-7735 is our direct line. And we'll take a look, see how we can help.
And keep you moving, that is for sure. Kevin, great topic, great information. Thank you so much for being on the show. Kevin and the team at 21st Century Rehab do a fantastic job. As he mentioned, if you have questions, want to schedule an appointment, they can be reached at 515-832-7735. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Hey, you're welcome. It's always fun.
Great job.
All right. Lori Foster and Kevin, thanks very much. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Lori Foster with the Bradford, where our focus on health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. 902 KQWC, Webster City, Bradford Financial News and Investment Hour coming up next. So don't go away. Again, it's 65 degrees.